Well, let's take a closer look at the political calculus at play in Washington. You just heard Tom Bowman say that military leaders are reluctant to get involved in Syria, but lawmakers, several of them on both sides of the aisle, are calling for the U.S. to intervene in Syria. We'll take a closer look at that, as well as some other news out of the nation's capital this week with NPR politics editor Charlie Mattesian. Charlie, welcome.
Hi, Meghna.
Hi there. So tell us, who are the most vocal folks in who are advocating U.S. intervention in Syria? Who are they?
Well, what we heard from some leading members of Congress this weekend and today as well suggests that members like Bob Corker, the Tennessee conservative, and John McCain, the Arizona senator, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, are among those that view a response as imminent. And while it's clear, pretty clear at least, while it's not clear what shape the response will take, even the Syria hawks in Congress, like Graham and McCain, seem to be drawing the line at boots on the ground, meaning there's some level of cautious bipartisan support for presidential action as long as it stops short of committing ground troops.
Now, has anyone in Congress spoken out against any sort of military intervention by the United States?
Well, in crisis situations like this, usually you see the rank and file sit back a little bit, and they don't tend to take a lead on this. But, you know, there is a freshman member of Congress, a very junior member of Congress, who in some sense represents the legacy of Ron Paul. And his name is Michigan Congressman Justin Amash. And his position is that there is no congressional authorization, and so there is no authorization for the president to act on this right now. And he's taken a leading role in this, and he's not the only one in Congress. There have been a number of members of Congress on both parties that have been agitating on the issue for some months now on the question of congressional authorization for military intervention.
So how does this all reflect in terms of what the American people think? Is there any polling data or evidence that there would be popular support for U.S. intervention in Syria?
Well, the polling seems pretty clear on the question of intervention. To date, Americans pretty strongly oppose U.S. intervention in Syria's civil war, and they think that U.S. should stay out of the conflict. And that's an opinion that's important to note cuts across party lines. And if you take a look at the most recent poll, one that was taken last week, about 60% of Americans surveyed said the U.S. should not intervene, with just 9% saying that the president should act. And so by polling standards, those are pretty stark numbers. But at the same time, I think it's worth noting that Americans are not quite as reticent about supporting intervention if it's proven that chemical weapons have been used to attack civilians. But again, even so, there's still far more opposition than there is support for military action.
Oh, interesting. So opinion could change based on what we find as soon as the weapons inspectors make any sort of declaration. Well, Charlie, while we've got you, let's move on to some other issues and events that have been happening in Washington. This week marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington in 1963. And over the weekend, there was quite a large rally commemorating that event. Attorney General Eric Holder spoke on Saturday, along with many others, including Trayvon Martin's mother. Trayvon Martin, of course, is the 17-year-old who was shot and killed by George Zimmerman in Florida. George Zimmerman was cleared of charges in that killing. Did any of the speeches on the March on Washington this weekend appear to be making ripples on the political front?
Well, I think you could say that Attorney General Eric Holder's speech probably made some ripples, and that's largely a function of the timing of the speech, since it came 2 days after the Justice Department sued Texas over its strict voter identification law, and there's so much speculation surrounding what comes next in terms of how the Justice Department proceeds on voting rights cases. And at the rally on Saturday, the Attorney General didn't explicitly mention Texas, and he didn't give an overtly political speech, but at the same time, it was still pretty clear from his remarks that he was alluding to the current controversies surrounding restrictions on voting in various states. And it suggests he's going to continue being a lightning rod on this issue going forward.
Well, Colin Powell got some attention this past weekend about some of his remarks concerning Trayvon Martin. He called the verdict questionable and asked President Obama to speak more on matters of race. And some have been saying that there's a divisive quality to his words in terms of where the Republican Party is on this issue. Is there a disconnect on his remarks for Republicans?
Well, I think in terms of his status in the party, General Powell showed that he can still command the national stage and grab national attention. But I think his days as a force or a beacon within the Republican Party are probably long since over. And that's largely a function of the fact that he's endorsed the president twice. And that's something that rank-and-file Republicans are not going to get over very easily. And also keep in mind that the party's transitioning from the kind of establishment Republican that's associated with Colin Powell. And his service with the Bush administration, of course, isn't going to win him any points with the Tea Party wing or other conservative elements in the party. So I think in this stage of his career, when he talks, the audience is different and the reception is very different.
Well, Charlie, in the last about 40 seconds, less than that we've got remaining here, I want to talk to you about the impending government shutdown, because Speaker of the House John Boehner and members of the Republican Party say they will cut funding for the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, even if it means shutting the government down. So what is in these threats?
Well, if you boil it down, there's just tremendous pressure within the Republican conference to use the threat of a government shutdown or even a potential government default later this year to force President Obama to delay implementation of his signature health care initiative. But of course, the rub here is that that course of action carries extreme political risk with it, including a backlash against the House Republican majority. And that's the only chamber that Republicans hold right now. And obviously, Democrats are sort of giddy at this prospect, since it's such a long shot of them winning back the House.
Well, NPR political editor Charlie Mattesian joins us. Charlie, thank you so much. Back in a minute. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.